Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this is your radio evangelist, Minor Hawk, thanking God for the opportunity and privilege I have of telling forth the wonderful story of redeeming love. Yes, of exalting Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the only Savior of sinful men and women, boys and girls. Now friends, there's no doubt many Christians listening in today, and perhaps you feel that you have a concern for the souls of the unsaved. Well friend, I'm going to test that concern right now. If you're really saved and born again, you should have a burden for souls. So friends, stop whatever you're doing and ask someone to listen to the broadcast. Please friend, right now while the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your soul, telephone that friend or neighbor and ask them to listen to the program. You know, if we Christians put our Christianity into practice, there would be fewer souls in hell today. Yes, if we stop to think where our friends and relatives are going to spend all eternity if they die unsaved, well, there's one thing sure. I believe we'd do everything possible to lead them to Christ. And friend, I honestly believe that if they're not saved soon, the likelihood is they'll not be saved at all. And to you Christians listening in, have you ever stopped to think where you would be today if someone hadn't taken the time to tell you about Jesus Christ? Have you? Suppose no one had a concern or care for your soul, and you went merrily on your way into eternity. What would you think of the people who could have told you about Jesus Christ, but didn't? Well, friends, I read back in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 7, where God says, "Warn them from me." In the next verse, God says, "If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." So, friend, please, please call up someone now, and at least you'll have a clear conscience if they continue to reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now let's listen to a beautiful hymn today, and it's a well-known favorite, "He Hideth My Soul." On the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee again for thine unspeakable gift. We thank thee for thy great heart of love and mercy and grace expressed in the person of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray thy blessing upon every effort being made today to win sinners to Christ. Bless this radio program today. May Thy Holy Spirit, through Thy Word, bring both conviction and conversion to the hearts and souls of any who have never been saved and born again. Pluck them as brands from the burning, for we ask it in the name of Thy Son, Him whom Thou delightest to honor, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, if you care to follow me in the Scriptures, I'll be using as my text for today two verses as found in the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts, chapter 13, and we'll begin reading at verse 38. The Apostle Paul is preaching, and he says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." Let me repeat this text. These two verses found in Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse 38. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of his word. Now, friends, the background to the text which I've just read to you today is one which was not uncommon for the Apostle Paul. The chapter begins with Paul and Barnabas being called by the Holy Spirit of God to begin their first missionary assignment. And, friend, only the Holy Spirit of God can fully prepare men for the work of the Lord, whereunto they are called. Listen, God never calls a man, or a woman for that matter, to the Lord's work without first preparing them for that all-important task. However, we read that they were preaching in the synagogues as they traveled from place to place. And it was while they were preaching in the synagogue at Antioch that the Apostle Paul uttered the words which I've read to you today. Paul has just rehearsed their history from the flight out of Egypt on down to the crucifixion, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then at the most crucial point of his address, he utters these memorable words, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now, friends, here was Paul, a former persecutor of the Christians, now telling his own people, the Jews, the good news of the gospel. My, what a gospel it is! It's able to take the vilest sinner and make him as white as snow in the sight of a holy God. Now, friends, today, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I should like to bring before you seven important and basic facts concerning the gospel or the salvation that Paul was preaching that day. I would refer to it as the seven peas in a pod. And the pod is the pod of salvation. Now, someone might be saying, well, what do you mean by salvation? Well, friend, I one time read in Webster's Unabridged Dictionary that salvation is the saving of man from the spiritual consequences of sin, especially deliverance from sin and eternal damnation through the atonement of Christ. So first of all, the salvation of God was being proclaimed. It was being proclaimed by Paul that day. And friend, it was being proclaimed by a man who had experienced conviction of sin. In Acts chapter 9, we read of Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus and how he had met Jesus Christ for the first time. It was then that Saul cried out, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Here we have a man who persecuted the children of God with a vicious zeal. But when he met the Lord Jesus Christ, his whole life was changed, and he began to tell others of his newfound love. And being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he went about proclaiming the good news of the gospel, or the message of salvation. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he declares, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile." Again, he says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Friend, let me ask those of you who are professing Christians today, when was the last time you talked to a non-Christian about Jesus Christ? When was the last time you passed out a gospel tract? Do your neighbors and co-workers know you to be a Christian? And how about your own family? Do the unsaved members of your family admire you for your testimony? Or are you like so many Christians today, failing to tell others what Christ has done for you and what he can likewise do for them? Ah, listen, Christian friend, if you're not proclaiming the good news of the gospel in some way, Perhaps you're not saved at all. Maybe you're only a professing Christian without being a possessing Christian. Yes, you're just like so many people today. You have a profession of faith in Christ, but there evidently is no possession, because we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Yes, it's a soul-searching question, and one which should stir us up to the realization that if we're truly a child of God today, we should be anxious to lead others to Christ. And if that desire doesn't exist within your heart and soul, my friend, in all probability, you're not saved yourself. After all, how could anyone who has escaped the eternal wrath of God not be touched by the sight of countless thousands hurrying on to destruction and hell? Friend, I don't believe it can be done. So then, that leads us to the necessary conclusion that if precious souls are to be saved from hell, they must first of all be told the good news of the gospel. And that's why I'm here today. Yes, I'm here with this program called The Voice of the Gospel. I'm proclaiming as best I can, and with God's help, the story of man's spiritual ruin and God's sacrificial remedy in the person of His own dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, not only was the Apostle Paul proclaiming the gospel, but he also declared the fact that salvation for the soul was purchased. His words were, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Now, what man was he speaking about? Why, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. It's only through the man called Jesus Christ that makes salvation possible today. In Acts 4 and 12 we read, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." Again, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul tells us that Jesus Christ hath purchased us with His own blood. And friend, if we're saved today, we are not our own. We've been bought with the price of the blood of Christ. Friend, the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price demanded by God in order for you and I to be brought back into a new and proper relationship with Himself. In Isaiah 59 and verse 2, we're told that our sins and iniquities have separated us from God. But I read in Ephesians 2 and 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Friend, the only thing I'm depending upon to take me into God's heaven is the precious blood of God's Son. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is truly a Redeemer. But you know, my friend, it took His own life's blood to purchase our souls. In Ephesians 1, verses 6 and 7, we're told that we sinners, once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior in God's sight, we are accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. I like that verse in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, which says concerning Christ, "who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem or purchase us from all iniquity." Ah, listen, friend. The salvation of God is a gift to those of us who are sinners and who have accepted Christ as our Savior. But let's never forget the fact that it cost the Lord Jesus Christ the greatest purchasing price possible, and that was His own life's blood. You know, there are many people today who try to ease their guilty conscience by giving a considerable amount of money to their church or favorite charity. These people think that such acts will save their soul and find favor in the sight of God. Friend, let me tell you what God says over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. "We are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Yes, the salvation of God cost Him His dearly beloved Son. But friend, God loved us so much that He was willing to pay the price. Hebrews 9 and 22 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. So God's Son, Jesus Christ, purchased our redemption by shedding His precious blood on Calvary's cross. And sinner friend, all you have to do to be sure of going to heaven is to believe that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He was dying in your guilty room and in your stead. That's all it takes, simple childlike faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. Now, not only did the Apostle Paul proclaim the salvation which was purchased by Christ, but he emphasized that it is a present salvation. He says, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Did you notice those two words? is preached. Paul gave them no guarantee that he could preach the good news in the future. He wanted them to know that they were presently living in the day of God's grace. And friend, that is one of the basic characteristics of the gospel. It is a present gospel. As far as his offer of mercy is concerned, God gives absolutely no guarantee for tomorrow. In fact, he warns in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And in Hebrews 4 and 7, God says, "Today, today if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart." Sinner friend, if the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you of sin right now, don't postpone the salvation of your soul. There is many a soul in the flames of hell today who had expected to receive Christ as their Savior before they died. But as is so often the case, they were struck down out of time and into eternity before they knew what happened. Friend, there's no excuse for not accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior right now. His blood has been shed in satisfaction for sin. And now all you have to do is to acknowledge that you're a hell-deserving sinner and trust that blood as an atonement for your sins. But don't put it off. No, God says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And furthermore, God warns back in Proverbs 29 and verse 1, "He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Friend, contrary to what you may have been told, if you die without having accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is no salvation for your soul. Once you pass through the portals of death, there is no turning back, and your soul will be in the flames of hell forever and forever. And again, let me remind you that failure to believe in a literal hell will in no way detract from the truth of God's Word, which clearly and repeatedly tells us that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. So remember, friend, the salvation of God is a present salvation. Now, the fourth fact we notice about the preaching of Paul is that the salvation of which he spoke was a personal salvation. In our text, he says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." And in verse 26 of this same chapter 13 of Acts, he says, "To you is the word of this salvation sent." Sinner friend, you may be listening to this program today, and you as an individual are unmoved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your attitude is one of complete indifference. You really believe that you're on your way to heaven, and you don't realize that you're really on your way to the pit. Perhaps you're highly respected in your community. You're a churchgoer. You read your Bible and you say your prayers. But friend, this will never get you into God's heaven. You're perhaps thinking that it's a good thing to have programs like this to stir up the drunkard or the ones who use the harmful drugs or maybe the thief or the harlot or someone like that. But listen, friend, the gospel which is preached unto you is a personal gospel. It's for the rich and the poor. It's for the old and the young. It's for the white and the black. It's for the Catholic, Protestant, and Jew. Yes, and it's for the self-righteous, hypocritical church member, as well as the down-and-out drunkard. God's Word tells us in Romans 3 and 23 that there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And furthermore, as far as your so-called good works or religious activities are concerned, God says in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, "For ye are all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Now, friend, if what I've just said to you is hurting your pride, I'm not at all surprised. No one likes to be told that their so-called good works or religious activities are filthy rags in the sight of God. And yet that's the truth as we find it in the Scriptures. Further proof of this fact can be found in other substantiating passages, for instance in Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Another scripture is Titus 3 and 5. There Paul says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." Friend, the salvation of your soul cannot be attained by your own efforts. Man has been trying since the time of Adam on down to the present day with no success. Why, logic itself tells us that if we could reach heaven by our own efforts, there would have been absolutely no need for the death of Jesus Christ. But again, let me say that salvation is a personal matter. The Word of God is being preached to you today. Don't you worry about your gossiping neighbor or drunken husband. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you're the one that will be in hell. Jesus said in John 3 and verse 7, ye must be born again. And back in Isaiah 55 and 6, God says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. So you see, friend, it's a personal salvation. Every individual, as such, must prepare to meet God. And that's why I'm here today. Yes, I'm preaching the Word, trusting that the Holy Spirit of God will convict sinners individually and will lead them as individuals to accept Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Now, the fifth point I want to make concerning our text for today is that Paul was preaching a gospel that was precious. He said that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. Yes, it was a precious gospel because it justifies the sinner in the sight of a holy God. In Romans 3 and 24, we're told, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It is also precious because it gives us peace with God. Romans 5 and 1 tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, my friend, it is precious because it saves the sinner from the wrath of God. Romans 5, 8, and 9 tells us how that God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So, friend, that's why the gospel is so precious. It justifies the sinner in the sight of a holy God. It brings about peace with God, and it saves the sinner from God's terrible wrath. You know, we're told in Hebrews 10 and verse 31 that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, the sixth important fact concerning the gospel which the Apostle Paul was preaching was that it was a plenteous gospel. Yes, it was plenteous. The salvation of God is available to whosoever will. And the only requirements necessary for your soul to be in heaven, friend, for all eternity, is admission that in your heart before God, you realize that you're a sinner. You realize you can't do a thing to save your own soul, and that you realize that Christ died on the cross as a sacrifice for your sin. And it's all by faith. No good works, no rituals or any such thing, just simple childlike faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You know, over in John chapter 3 and verse 16, we have that best-known verse in the Bible. Jesus Christ himself tells us how plenteous is God's way of salvation. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that means everyone or anyone, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In our text, Paul says, by him, meaning Jesus, all that believe are justified from all things. Now, by this we see that the gospel is not only plenteous because it includes all that believe, but it is also plenteous because it justifies from all things. In other words, regardless of how great a sinner you may be, if you come by faith to Jesus Christ today, you'll be spotless in the sight of a holy God. In 1 John 1 and 7 we read, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So, friend, take it from the lips of God himself. He promises that if you'll accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior, he will cleanse you from all sin and all unrighteousness. He will blot out your sins as a thick cloud. He will cast your sins behind his back. He'll drop them into the depths of the sea. And if you still need assurance, he tells us in Hebrews 10 and verse 17, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, friends, there's one more point I want to make regarding our text for today, and that is, Paul was preaching about a salvation that is perfect, a perfect salvation. He told them that they could be justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Ah, what courage this man Paul had. Here he was in the Jews' house of worship, telling them how Christ, the perfect sacrifice, could do that which the law could not do. In John 1 and 17, we're told, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Yes, these people, like so many today, were trying to keep the Ten Commandments. And yet God tells us over in Galatians 2 and 16, by the works of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Again, in Galatians 3 and 13, God's Word tells us, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. You know, friends, it grieves me at times to meet people who are trying to get to heaven by keeping the so-called laws of God. No one, friend, apart from Jesus Christ, ever could keep the law. In fact, God knows we can't keep them. And that's the reason He sent His Son into the world to die for us. Jesus Christ was the end of the law for righteousness' sake to everyone that believeth. So, friend, as this program comes to a close today, I plead with you in love for your soul to acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died. Admit you can't do a thing to save your own soul. Then in simple childlike faith, look away to Calvary's cross, and there see the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, dying in your guilty room and in your stead. Friend, believe with all your heart in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we bow our hearts in Thy presence again at the close of another radio message to thank Thee for the privilege we've had of exalting the person of Thy Son as the only Savior of sinners. May it please Thee by Thy Holy Spirit to bring both conviction and conversion to the hearts and souls of any who are listening in today who've never been saved and born again. Save them before it's eternally too late. We'll be careful to give Thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.